This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Woo! Almost need a weekend for my weekend.
I need a weekend from the weekend.
Dana has found a musical artist that we've all known existed for 20 years.
Where have I been? You're going to die laughing, Sam. You know, we listen to a lot of live music. And Friday night, I said, you know what? Let's go outside the box, babe. Get out of the bubble. Let's just think a little bit outside of the box. We're going to get out of here. We're going to go to downtown Lee's Summit. And he's like, all right, let's go. And we get in the car and we drive to this great music bar and grill type of place. We get there and you can hear the tunes blaring from the street. Hold, please. I'll play you a little bit. And I said, oh, my God, this is my place. This is my jam. We got to go in. Nashville? Are we in Memphis? And someone clocked me over the head and I didn't know it. So we're there all night long. And I post a couple of videos of Brody Buster doing what Brody Buster does. And then Scott looks at me during a break and goes,
Wait.
How have you not seen him perform before?
She was like, you know, she's found the newest Toad the Wet Sprocket or something in 1991.
Well, right? Hey, simmer down in there, Spotify. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Or this is Pearl Jam at Day on the Hill at KU.
Yeah.
And she's just found the newest grunge rock band.
Gotta listen to this guy.
And so she's playing that music, and I'm like, that's very good, but did you know, she doesn't want me to say this, if a harmonica is in tune, you cannot be flat or sharp when you play.
And I said, I'm going to stop you right there. You're not going to say anything negative about my experience Friday night. It's one of the greatest bands I've seen in a long time.
So I said, that music's really good. Who is it that you went and saw? She goes, Brody Buster. I dropped my glasses. I go, how have you never heard of Brody Buster? I've seen him open for B.B. King, I believe Buddy Guy, Robert Cray.
He's been around a while.
Pretty sure Bo Diddley.
He's not a spring chicken
and so
anymore.
I don't, as much as I love live music, I don't know where I've been, and I apologize for that. He's incredible. I'm going to follow him around like a crazy person. He's local. Thrilled that he is local. But it will forever now be a joke that when my person said, who are we going to see? And I replied, this is mortifying, some harmonica guy.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Then I start reading about it afterward, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's sort of a big deal.
So he basically plays his own band.
There were three other band members with him that night, but he also has a one-man band.
There's him doing harmonica, singing, guitar, and drums at the same time.
He would set the harmonica down, pick up the guitar, and I'm sitting there going, where have I been? He's got a new album apparently coming out in a week, and I will be, like, we're streaming all of it. He's incredible. God, Brody is good.
That's him on every instrument at the same time.
Yeah, try doing that.
Does he use a looper or is he just playing them live?
No, he's just playing.
So, he's awesome.
So he's got a harmonica around his neck. He's got a guitar in his hand. He's singing. And he's got a bass drum. Well, actually, it's a snare drum on a bass kick. It's a snare drum on a bass kick with a hi-hat. And he's using the hi-hat on his left foot, the bass kick on a snare with his right foot.
Absolutely. We're looking into doing something for my birthday involving that band or him. I'm sure he's booked. But
he's
that's
almost like a street performer.
He's just incredible.
I swear I saw the light.
Why
don't you have him come in studio and perform?
I have reached out to see if he will give us a little biography and maybe play some tunes and just tell me about your life. That's
not
Josh Johnson, not available. But one of the things we saw on our way to Lee Summit, I think, is going to be a topic later on the program. Okay. We were on 435 before you split over to get to Lee Summit. Okay. And a truck up ahead just had no headlights on. That show started at 8 o'clock, Scott, so I assure you it was dark out. And this has come up a couple of times on the program before. I do not understand why we are seeing this so often. Every time I'm out, maybe I'm just an old fuddy-duddy now. Every time I'm out, usually on a highway, there's just people riding around without their headlights on. And you've said this 1,000 times. How do you not... No.
I guarantee you this. I will see three going home tonight coming in the opposite direction.
Well,
it happens every single night. I don't get it.
Part of the issue is that most vehicles now have automatic headlights. And so when you get in, you just assume that you don't have to change anything. And if the daytimer lights are on, so say you don't have it set to automatic, but you have it like one click back. And so it's the daytimers, but not the full headlights are on. There will be little tiny headlights coming out of the front of the vehicle, and the lights inside the vehicle will be on.
But Sam, I'm going to disagree with you on this, if you don't mind. I have been in traffic every night for the last month where there is somebody either right in front of me with no taillights on whatsoever.
None.
Or coming in the opposite direction on the other side of Shawnee Mission Parkway with zero headlights on. No runner lights, no nothing. Nothing.
Nothing. And Sam, on 435, you might think, oh, that's pretty well lit. No, it's not. 435 at night on the way to Lee Summit, there are no streetlights.
No, it is pitch black.
It is pitch black.
Especially over there by the 103rd Street exit.
Yeah, it's right where we were. Even if you could say, well, you know, maybe the dash lights were still illuminated. No, you would still notice, Scott, in a pitch black area
that you can't see the road in front of you. Yes.
Anyway, I looked it up, and if you Google it, you will get law firms asking you if you have been involved in an auto accident involving a driver without headlights.
So I've been so paranoid about this lately, you know, having seen it every night when I'm driving home, that I have actually, Dan, I know you kind of park in a weird way in the parking lot. That's your prerogative. By the way, you look more and more like Colonel Sanders every day. and I'm just being honest.
Thank you.
Okay.
Try the chicken.
Yeah. I will pull up to Dan's car at night to make sure that I can see, you know, it's dusk at 6 o'clock now. Make sure that I can see the reflection of my two headlights off of Dan's car.
You just don't move the...
I keep it on auto.
Yes.
But I want to make sure that both of the lights are illuminated so that I'm not committing a crime.
Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now I turn mine off and on, but I also drive old vehicles that you have to turn them off and on.
Do you have the twist mechanism on the left? Oh, yeah.
Now, my old truck had the knob that was up on the dash that you had to pull all the way out to get the headlights to turn on.
You were born old school, it was a button that came out of the floorboard to the left of the brake.
Yeah, the emergency brake.
The yes.
Clutch. Push it with your left foot.
That's how old I am.
Brights on, baby.
Dang right.
Mm-hmm.
Because using your hand to turn the lights on was... a distraction?
Right.
So the Oscars were on last night. By the way, does anybody know why they call them the Oscars when they're the Academy Awards?
I did not watch for the first time in, I don't even know. I clicked over at the very, very end, and God bless her, I'm sure she's a great actress, but someone won Best Actress. You could hear the collective gasp in the room, an actress in a movie neither of which I have heard of, which is usually a page from Scott Park's book. Like, I have no idea who that was or what that movie was.
Anora is the name of the movie. It is an independent film about, and I'm just going off of what I read about the description.
Here's what I'll do. I'll clean it up for you. It's Pretty Woman with a lot of steroids.
There you go.
Okay.
Anora, or Ignora, if you are Demi Moore.
Correct. Or Ignored. Yes. The Razzies came out last night as well. Would you care to guess?
No, lay it on me.
Worst Picture.
I try to avoid the worst movies of the year, unlike someone else in this room.
I call those entertaining.
Go ahead.
Worst Picture is Madame Web.
Okay.
Never heard of it. Worst Actor, Jerry Seinfeld in Unfrosted.
Okay.
Worst Actress, Dakota Johnson in Madame Web. Worst Supporting Actor, John Voight in Megalopolis, Reagan, and Shadowland.
Wow.
So John Voight got three Worst Actor awards last night.
For Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Worst Supporting Actress, Amy Schumer for Unfrosted. Worst Director, Francis Ford Coppola for Megalopolis. Worst Screen Combo, Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga for Joker, Folie à Deux.
I liked that movie. I know I'm in a small camp of people there.
Worst remake, ripoff, or sequel, Joker, Folie à Deux. And worst screenplay, Madame Web.
They were not a fan of Madame Web.
Apparently not.
All right.
But it is ironic, Dana, that you started this with saying that you try to avoid the worst movies of the year, and you're the only one that's seen one of them.
I know. Just that one time.
Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. All right, I practiced this before we came on the air. I'm going to butcher it nonetheless.
This could be about Patrick Mahomes. It could be about Travis Kelce. You know I do not follow the NBA, but man, this is a fascinating story.
Why don't you say the first name and I'll say the last name?
Story here from New York Times when Victor
Wembanyama
swapped jerseys with a young fan after the San Antonio Spurs 96-87 win over the Nets at the Barclays Center on December 27th. It created a viral image that delighted the internet. Think, hey, Mean Joe.
A little boy said, hey, well, you want to swap jerseys? And there is a viral photograph of this, of course, very, very tall NBA player holding up the little boy's teeny tiny jersey with his name on it. And then the little boy is holding up this gigantic jersey with Wembanyama's name on it. And it's just a sweet moment because the NBA player said, yes, I will trade jerseys with you after the game.
What followed has turned a sweet interaction into a hotly debated issue that has now reached the New York Supreme Court.
By the way, Victor is 7'3".
The 5-year-old boy who is wearing a tiny Spurs Victor
Wembanyama
jersey and his father attended the game with a sign that read, Victor
Wembanyama,
will you swap jerseys with me? After the game, they were invited onto the court where the swap was carried out in front of the cameras, with the boy getting
Wembanyama
game-worn City Edition top and the 7'3"
Wembanyama
getting the comically small replica. However, on January 14th, it was announced the jersey would be a featured item in the Golden 100 auction opening on January 22nd with a starting bid of $10,000. This sparked a public backlash. Many people who found the original interaction so endearing felt that this was distasteful.
Now we want to make money off of it.
To cash in on the gifted jersey so quickly. However, those who defended the move pointed out that the jersey would likely bring in a significant amount of money for a family and potentially have a life-changing impact on the child.
You could pay for a handful of semesters of college for that child. I had no idea that a worn NBA jersey could fetch $73,000. There are other jerseys of this man's whom I have never heard of, that has cleared, quote, $700,000 in the sports trinket market. That is not a typo, Scott.
I know.
Other jerseys of this guy's have sold for $700,000.
So his jersey already, and he is brand new to the league, has sold for $726,000.
So then the question becomes, when someone gives something to you, it was a sweet viral moment. Do I think the family set out to, oh, let's go see if we can get a jersey and then sell it, and make a bunch of money? I don't. I think they went to the game. The kid asked him to swap jerseys. The player did.
It was just one of those moments.
And then I think the family started thinking, oh, wow. Like, we now have something that theoretically could, if we put this, you know, in the bank and do it correctly, could probably pay for college for this kid.
Well, and they might have Googled, what is a Victor Wembanyama jersey worth? And if you see $726,000, all of a sudden you're more likely to throw that thing up for auction.
Then why did they sell
people
it for $73,000?
Were furious.
That's just how auctions go.
The dad has now stepped in and said, please release me from this auction. We don't want anything to do with this, because he and his son have since received, quote, unexpected exposure and harm from, quote, public scrutiny and harassment that has led to severe emotional distress, avoiding basketball games, and, quote, for this little buddy, believing his favorite player now dislikes him after the player posted online a crying emoji once he learned that they were trying to sell the jersey.
Let me rephrase that a little bit. Dad wants the jersey back. He wants out of the auction because his jersey that they put up, probably breaking their own kid's heart, sold for a tenth
of what
other jerseys have sold for. They want to try again.
And by the way, auction houses don't do this for free. So I bet you that they're only looking at getting about $50,000 of that $73,000, if not less money. And so the dad's mad.
Yeah.
He wants more money.
He wants the jersey back. He wants to try it again.
And now he's using his son's ego and broken heart as an excuse to get the jersey back. Mm-hmm. No, you don't get it back.
The court declined to put a restraining order in effect for that auction. The court said nope, but there's another hearing coming up on this. So, number one,
You put it up for bid.
Should the dad have turned right around and sold it? Kind of a jerk move. The optics of that are not great.
They're terrible.
And is the family super poor and can't afford anything? I would have thought maybe they need the money. But if you're sitting close enough to at an NBA game,
where you can get in contact with a player,
that suggests to me that maybe they're doing just fine.
You're not up in the rafters.
No, they were not.
You're down close enough that Victor Wembanyama.
Nice.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you. Is able to make contact with your kid and switch or swap jerseys.
I mean, you have to guess that they probably spent over $500 per ticket if they were close enough that not only did they see the sign, but they reacted and invited the kid down. You're not
$500 for an NBA game when they're 82 a season?
To be that close? Wow. Oh, easily.
Okay.
I will tell
you're
this.
Not worried about where your next meal's coming
from. I think the dad is sorry. I think it took a couple days to probably figure out this was the wrong move. Not only from a PR standpoint was this bad, but my son is now upset. He's 5 years old, doesn't understand why people are making fun of the family.
We could have made $600,000 more. It's always the money. He doesn't care about his kid's feelings. He's mad that he's out $600,000 that he could have got. Am I wrong or am I right?
You're right. And with the auction going through for 73-2, it's my understanding that those auctions are binding. You know,
I believe that's correct.
Gavel comes down and you are the winning bidder. Mm-hmm. That is a legally binding contract.
Even signing the contract prior to the auction puts that jersey in the possession of the auction house. Unless you have a specific reserve and that reserve is not met, you no longer own that jersey.
Why did this make news? If Patrick Mahomes had swapped jerseys with a kid, you always see Patrick at the end of the games taking off his headband and throwing it up to a child.
Sure, you see lots of players give out their cleats.
Yes. If a child and his father then turned around a week later and they were trying to hawk that on eBay, would the outrage be there the way we're seeing it?
Yes.
Okay.
And here's why. It was a sweet moment between a player and a very young fan, hijacked by a father who wanted to make a quick buck.
I feel bad for the kid.
I do, too.
And that kid will forever be holding the memory that I got a game-worn Victor Wembanyama jersey on the court. It went viral, and Dad took it and sold it.
What the dad should have done is gone down to Raleigh House, gotten a replica jersey,
a fake,
swapped it out,
sweat in it a little bit.
Never told the kid.
Worn it down to the corner
like,
lot.
I'm going to take the money and do the wrong thing, but let's not drag the 5-year-old into it. He'll never know.
Maybe if you sit on it. I mean, think about this. And I'm being serious. The story that came to mind was the old Coca-Cola commercial with Mean Joe Green in 1979 or whenever it was. And, hey, Mean Joe, you know, and Mean Joe gives the kid his jersey in exchange for a sip of his Coke. Can you imagine that jersey in that commercial, what it would be worth today? Now, Sam, I know you're not familiar with the Mean Joe Green Coca-Cola commercial. But it was an endearing, for people my age.
It's very sweet.
We remember it. I was very young. I was probably 8 or 9 years old when that commercial came out. But you never forget the kid going, thanks, Mean Joe.
Oh, yeah. I've played it on the show. I've seen the video on YouTube 100 times.
I mean, it was a great commercial back in the late 1970s. Can you imagine wherever that jersey is today? And I know that that's not a real game-worn jersey. It was just a commercial. But that was the Mean Joe Green commercial jersey used in that commercial. What that jersey, wherever it is today, must be worth. And why would you not hold on to this jersey?
If you ask the dad today, I bet you he would say, I wish we had never even had this happen.
Because you got greedy.
It has blown up into such an awful thing that started as a great feel-good story.
But had he gotten $700,000, he never would have filed suit, and the continuation of the story would never have happened.
Would we have even known?
Yeah.
Now, see, I don't follow the NBA like I used to back in the 90s.
He got hurt. I think the player got hurt.
He's out for quite a while, if not the entire season.
A blood clot of some kind, if I remember
correctly. Is Wembanyama a rookie?
No, he joined in 2023, so I believe this would technically be his second year.
But is it worth more, I guess, Sam, because he's hurt? One of the stories mentioned the timing of that even looks bad, that now we're going to try to rescind the auction because is he wondering, is the jersey worth more now that he's injured?
I don't know about that. I think that the one that sold for $726,000 was probably a rookie year game-worn jersey. And Wembanyama's been taking the league by storm, just being 7'3", being as good as he is.
$700,000?
Yep.
Think about this. Think about if you had a jersey from Michael Jordan in the mid-1980s when he was a superstar, but they weren't winning national titles. And then you sold it in 1993. When Jordan was the biggest name in sport in America, it would be so much more than $70,000.
You know what's going to happen now? The next time a child says, hey, can I have your jersey? The answer is no. The answer is no. And that's unfortunate.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Well, apparently Brody, that harmonica guy Buster, who everybody else in this town has known about for 20-something years, Dana just found him on Friday or Saturday night. He was listening when we were talking about him at the beginning of the show. He got word, apparently, that you were in the audience.
My social media reach is not small. And so I did reach back out to him and I said, will you come on the show? Bring your harmonica, blink twice if you will come on my program. Here's my email. Will you please come on the show? So we will work on that soon.
Looking at him in the car listening to the show, he is giddy.
You forget we're in radios everywhere. Like you and I just sitting here.
He is so excited.
You and I just sitting here doing what we do and Sam's over there. And like every once in a while, it's like, oh yeah, there's people out there listening to what we say.
Oh, good for him.
I know, I'm super excited.
Good for him.
We'll get it on the books.
All right, Carter in Belton on line one. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you for asking.
So my thinking of this is the player gave the kid the jersey, not the dad. So the dad should have had no right to have gone to the auction house and get it sold.
Yeah.
But since it's too late for that, all the money that the dad is going to be making needs to go in a trust for the child so that way he has access to the money only when he turns 18.
Bingo. Carter, one of the things I read in the New York Times article about this was exactly what you are saying, that there is some law, and I don't think it's a federal law, I think it was specific to New York, that if there is something you are selling that belongs to a child, I think the threshold was $10,000. I think it was anything over $10,000. Hmm. You have to have the equivalent of like a guardian ad litem appointed to oversee the child's interests.
That's interesting. Because I know in California, there's a law where if you use your kid for like social media influencing,
yep,
they need to get a majority portion of the profits that you make.
Also acting, if I'm not mistaken.
That as well. That's why it's in California, because that's where L.A. is.
Yeah, of course. All right. Hey, Carter, thanks for the call, man. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Be well. We talked about this right at the beginning of the show. And here's the story to it. At one time, driving at night without headlights was a mistake that drivers rarely made. In older model vehicles, the dashboard remained dark until you would turn on the headlights, which is an automatic reminder. You may have noticed, though, that more people are driving at night without their headlights recently. There are two reasons why this serious driving error is occurring more frequently today. Auto manufacturers have developed high-gauge clusters. Explain this to me, Sam. With dashboard lights that remain on day or night. So there is no such thing as a dark dashboard to remind drivers to turn on their headlights.
That was a pretty good explanation.
Yep.
Okay. And then there's daytime running lamps designed to improve visibility during the day. These may lead drivers to believe that their headlights are on because the roadway ahead is lit while their taillights remain off until the headlights are activated.
Well, and one of the main indicators back in the day before they had all of the well-lit dashboards and whatnot was the fact that the inside of the car was pitch black. You couldn't see a dang thing because right. There was not a single light illuminating anything. Well, now, if you have your headlights off, you've got anywhere from an 8 to a 17-inch screen right in the middle of your dash that's lighting up everything. Your gauges are lit with backlighting. You have no way of knowing, other than the fact that, I don't know, the road in front of you is dark, that your headlights are not on.
But explain this to me. It says here, daytime running lamps. Are those underneath the car?
No, those are typically a secondary set of bulbs or sometimes the same bulb, just a more dim option that runs all day long. Okay, so they turn on the second you start your vehicle.
And it makes it look like the road is illuminated even though your headlights are not fully illuminated.
It might light up 20 feet of road where your regular headlights would light up 100 feet of road.
Okay, so did you recognize where this story quote came from that I handed you?
I'm assuming it's a law firm.
It is a law firm. If you keep reading, the law firms say, and it was more than one, if you've been injured by a car without its headlights
that's
on.
That's right there in the last paragraph, yeah, actually.
Trust me when I say, if Bob Jones doesn't have his headlights on and he's driving a Ford and he strikes you because he doesn't see you and he, for whatever reason, doesn't realize his lights aren't on, it's not Bob Jones that those law firms are interested in going after. The way I read the attorney speak online, they're wanting to go after the manufacturers of the car. The money is with Ford, not with Bob Jones.
And probably your insurance company, wouldn't you think?
100%. I mean,
that's where the money is.
100%.
Hmm.
Not to veer off a little bit here, pardon the driving pun. What's even more annoying to me is the people who have a headlight go out, and instead of replacing their headlight, they just turn their brights on.
Their brights on, yes.
That's not a fix.
It is for the time being.
It's fix for them.
Just got to get home,
not for anyone in the line of fire there.
It says here, if you were injured in, so this is the lawyer speak coming out now. If you were injured in an accident caused by a driver who failed to turn on their headlights after dark, they may be responsible for your past and future medical expenses, lost wages or earnings. Make sure you call us. We're the best in the business. Loss of future earning potential, pain and suffering, et cetera, et cetera. But let's get out of the lawyer speak. I couldn't care less about them. What is it? Why is it so hard to recognize that your lights are not on?
And follow-up question, if I may, are we past, because of the urban legend of I'm going to get killed in a gang initiation, are we past the era where you,
where you give them a double tap?
Where you give them the little double tap.
Oh, I flash my lights like crazy at people without their lights on. Turn your dang lights on. But now, nine out of 10 times, they don't.
They don't, because you know what they think you're saying? I'm trying to kill you in a gang initiation.
Nobody thinks that but
you. Or there's a speed trap up ahead.
I'm just trying to say, hey, I want you to stay alive. Turn your lights on so that if you do wreck, at least you can see it while you're wrecking.
From the text line, were your headlights made at Camp Lejeune?
Whatever happened to that? That case must be closed because we don't hear any lawyers asking about that anymore.
Between 1958 and 1985?
Running low on blinker fluid. Give us a call.
Jack in Lenexa, 586-7798. Jack, hello.
How are you doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going across 470 the other night, and a car passed me. So I got behind him, flashed my lights, and did it to him twice. And then he gets up there and he turns his left turn signal on, his right turn signal on. And right where 470 curves around to go north, there was a cop sitting there, and he pulled him over.
Good.
Like I said, I thought it was great, but, I tried to help him out, but they don't pay attention. It's just crazy.
And honestly, Jack, as much as I want to be the good Samaritan that's like, hey, your lights aren't on,
moron,
part of me is like, number one, that's on you, and number two, I don't want to be flashing someone from behind, and they think I'm trying to road rage them. And now I really am dealing with some sort of gang initiation that, unbeknownst to them, they're going to now, the rage is coming out and they're going to shoot me.
913-586-7798.
Is it a knowledge thing? Do we need to have like a crash course on what the heck the lights on your dash mean when you buy a new car? Because my mom had a car for years that she got back in the mid-2000s that when the headlights were not on but the daytimers were on, it illuminated on your dash that your lights were on. But then at night, when the headlights were on, but the daytimers weren't on, that light was not on.
Huh?
I think
that makes sense.
So I'm confused, but I think every car is different. Every make and model is different. And certainly every year of make and model is different. It's on you to know whether or not your lights are on.
Yes. And I think what Sam's trying to say is there's a little icon on your dash cam.
Make it bigger.
It looks like a capital D and a capital D reversed with three lines on the outside facing each other. Yeah,
it should be D.
And I make sure every time when I leave this parking lot at night, I make sure that that little green light, it looks like a D with three lines coming off the back. I make sure that it's on. If it's not, I go and drive next to Dan Weinbaum's car and take a look. Mike in Topeka. Mike, hello.
Hey, guys. I think part of the problem, too, in terms of trying to let someone know that their lights aren't on, is that a lot of people are using the wrong kind of signal. You guys have mentioned flashing your high beams to try to tell someone.
Yep.
Well, typically, that is more of a warning that I think we most often know it as someone up ahead is running radar. But a lot of people always also use it for if there's deer in the road or something. What you should do is turn your headlights off and then back on. Don't flash your high beams. Turn your headlights off and on multiple times to tell them your headlights are off. And every time I've done that, it always works.
Is that legal?
It is legal.
Turning your headlights off and on in traffic is legal?
Yeah, because you're only doing it briefly, and it's just, a cycle a few times to let someone know, hey, something is amiss. And it usually stands out differently than just flashing your brights, because that even if people don't know what it's doing, they tend to be more confused by it. Whereas if you're turning your headlights off and on, for some reason it sends that signal a little bit better of, hey, your headlights are off.
And I'm going to kill you so I can get into a gang.
Thank you.
Well, I've never had an issue with road rage from that, so that's just my anecdotal experience. Take it as you will.
Mike, what do you do if there's a deer in the road and you just passed a speed trap and then someone comes along without their headlights on?
Hmm.
Well, then I'm turning on my hazards and flashing lights and stopping the whole nine.
All right, Mike,
I'll
take care.
Pull out my flare gun from the glove box and set that off.
Gun. Okay, smart. All right, Mike, take care, buddy. 913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on KMBZ. I'm not getting political, but this is funny. I just saw a meme on Facebook that says Doge is planning on coming after those people who still owe Columbia House for the cassettes. Okay.
Leave no dollar unturned.
No, those were pennies, Sam. That was a penny for a cassette. CBS News, Citigroup mistakenly credited $81 trillion. $81 trillion.
Oh my God.
To a customer's account instead of the $280. That they initially deposited before reversing the transaction hours later. By the way, that is more than 2.5 times the federal debt of the United States. The error took place last April and was missed by a payments employee and a second worker before it was cleared to process the following day, according to a newspaper, which cited an internal account and two people familiar with the matter. A third employee discovered the error about 1.5 hours after the payment was processed. The transaction was reversed several hours later, according to the Financial Times. No funds left the bank, and the, quote, near miss was disclosed to the Federal Reserve and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. Uh-huh. The incident did not affect the bank or the customer. By the way,
how long would you keep it?
How much would you be able to buy before they... Obviously, that's theft. I'm not condoning it. But how much would you be able to buy before they realized it and corrected their error?
Not enough.
I mean, I'm going to go buy an island.
Not enough. I mean, they found it within 1.5 days.
But how long does it take to buy an island?
I've never bought an island, Sam. But for 1.5 days, you had $81 trillion. The bank, by the way, Citigroup, apparently this happens every once in a while. In 2024, they had 10 near misses of $1 billion or more. 10.
Wow.
10.
Mm-hmm. Somebody falling asleep on the zero button? What's going on here?
Which it does seem like with the trillion, when someone just went, like maybe someone, I don't know, had sleep apnea
in 2020,
and just face planted into the keep.
In 2023, they had, so this was in 2024, they had 10 misses of $1 billion. In 2023, they had 13 misses of $1 billion or more.
Now, I'm no expert here. I'm not a high-level criminal, so I couldn't tell you how to do it. But if you knew what you were doing, in theory, the second that that money hit your account, could you not transfer it to some offshore account and disappear for the rest of your life?
If you're willing to go to prison for the rest of your life, yes.
How are they going to find you?
Well, yeah, where are they going to get you?
Come and get me. I'm in Cuba.
Uh-huh. I'm not going to a country that offers extradition. No, I got trillions.
I mean, basically, the only place you could go would be Russia or Cuba.
Be an automatic oligarch if you go to Russia. Speaking not
of,
saying you should.
Speaking of crime, and this is not even going to be a topic because there's nothing to be said about this. Bonner Springs, you win. Your police department wins for the most ridiculous social media post I've seen in a long time from a police department. It's a grainy photo of a dude. He's like 55, 60 years old. All right. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to read what they posted. The Bonner Springs Police Department is trying to identify a man who may have information on a case. Investigators are looking for a person after, quote, an incident. No details are provided on the incident and the business is not named. But if you have information, please contact Sergeant Haney.
At C. Haney at Bonner PD.
Information about what?
What did this man do?
And
here's
where,
what he looks like, by the way.
Is he a serial killer? Or did he squirt some ketchup on somebody at a burger joint?
Well, or did he do anything? It just says trying to identify a man who may have information.
Okay, you never want to be the person in the grainy photo with a police officer saying, we just want to talk to this person. That is always cop speak for
he's
you did something wrong.
Yeah, he's our suspect.
We're not saying why, Scott. We're not saying where. We're not going to tell you when. But if you can recognize this dude called, no, you got to give me more than that.
Wow.
What did he do?
Wow.
Well, we can't tell you. What?
Where did it happen?
If I see him, we can't tell you.
When did it happen? Do I need to run? Why did it happen?
Well, we're trying to find out. If you see him, please let us know.
How did it happen? I'm asking for a friend.
How did what happen? What do you mean what?
Well, I don't know.
How do you
what
think?
Are you
why is there
about?
A what?
Do you have information?
No, If I did,
who's on first?
I wouldn't even know if I had information because I don't know what information they're looking for.
I don't know who's on third.
Firefighters in Olathe say a Saturday night fire served as a reminder of the importance of keeping your dryer vents clear.
Oh, we're bringing that back.
Mm-hmm. I got mine cleaned out last year.
That was almost you.
I know. They told me if I had not gotten my vents cleaned out, my house would have caught on fire soon. Soon.
Also, we have an update from the police department and a licensing board in the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. If you were sexually assaulted while you were just trying to get a massage on State Line Road around 129th Street. Can't wait to share that update with you.
913-586-7798. Dan has the news coming up in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.